Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher, and a special broadcast from the Ohio State University Chadwick Arboretum annual spring plant sale on the OSU campus. We're here until noon, but the sale is here all day and all day tomorrow until 6. It's beautiful out here. It's not raining, so check it out. It's a regular sale every year, and we're here every year. And with us, as always, every year is Ohio's Garden Sage, Deborah Kanapke, author, teacher, lecturer, and blogger. She joins us now to talk gardening. Welcome back, Deborah.
Thank you. I love being here.
And also joining us is Jared Hughes, owner of Groovy Plants Ranch. Visit their booth when you visit the Chadwick Arboretum Plant Sale today and tomorrow. Welcome, Jared. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Ann. We're very excited to be here.
So the perfect weather begins tomorrow.
That's
right?
What I hear. It's darn 70. Cold right now.
It's not cold.
It's chilly.
Perfectly. It's not even chilly.
It's invigorating.
It's invigorating. It's nice. And it's not raining, for heaven's sake.
That's
Deborah.
True. It's not raining.
But the perfect weather begins tomorrow, which is perfect timing, right? Mm-hmm. What needs to be in the ground now? Let's talk about veggies, for starters, Deb Kanapke.
Well, you already should have put in your spinach and your lettuce and your cole crops, brassicas, like cauliflower and broccoli and Brussels sprouts and all those. What you should not have put in yet is your tomatoes and your peppers and the ones that like it warm. Do not put corn in yet. It's actually based on temperature of the soil. And it's kind of surprising that I've seen a lot of annuals go in, and I'm wondering if people have covered up some of their annuals, their warm annuals. We have our cold annuals, like sweet alyssum and pansies. They love it cold. They like being out there. Sweet peas, et cetera. But, we went down to 32 degrees last week in my backyard.
Yeah, and you think that might still happen yet this...
I don't want it to, but what was
it's gonna
it?
It's going to be nice for the next 5 or 6 days.
Yeah, and usually I say Mother's Day is the time I plant my tomatoes, and doggone it, I am tomorrow planting my tomatoes. And a host of other plants that I bought here this morning.
The variety of tomatoes here is amazing, but how many varieties are there?
That's a darn good question. If you were to count all the heirlooms and all of the hybrids that are coming out now, there has to be at least, I want to say, 400 to 600, because I'm going to say a wide range. But there are heirloom varieties that people have kept from parents and grandparents all over the world. So maybe I'm underestimating it, 400 to 600. Maybe one of our listeners can Google it while we're sitting
here. There is a Czech variety over by the organics. Today that I got. I'm
what's it called?
I can't remember. Oh. But it's a Czech variety. So from the Czechoslovakian, I guess, is what it's. But of course, it's called the Czech Republic now. Jared Hughes, are succulents hardy little plants?
Some succulents are. So succulents vary like many other plants. You have succulents that are totally hardy in our environment, and then you have many that are what we call tender. As it goes in Ohio, and just like anywhere else, you always want what you can't have. And many of the tender varieties are what we would call, you know, the cool-looking ones. Mm-hmm. But there are many hardy varieties. We have some with us. There are many for sale here. And then we have a fairly large selection of unique and unusual tender varieties, which have become very popular as houseplants and collectible plants, in addition to annual alternatives.
I usually don't think of succulents as outdoor plants until I visited Deb Kanapke's garden, and she's a big lover of those. When do you put those in? The same thing? Wait till the plant? Or it doesn't matter with those so much?
With the hardiest succulents, I just plant them whenever.
If they've been grown outdoors and they're acclimated, they are incredibly tough. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of people, I get asked this question constantly. Hens and chicks, for example.
Yeah.
A lot of people bring those indoors. And that is a tough, hardy plant.
Yeah.
We grow them in a rock face at our business.
Uh-huh.
And they are beautiful. They love it.
And there's so many different kinds.
There's so many. And
how many different kinds of succulents?
Oh.
Good.
has to be in the thousands.
In the thousands.
You know, as far, the thing is, the term succulent is pretty wide-ranging. But mm-hmm. the hardy succulents, there are several hundred varieties that you can hunt down. We even have hardy cacti here. Mm-hmm. Several varieties of cacti that you can grow in a prepared rock garden outdoors in Ohio. A lot of people don't believe that.
What about the soil when it comes to succulents? Is it any different than anything?
It's going to vary depending on what you're planting. You know, a tall garden sedum is fairly adaptable, for example,
yeah.
which is a great, you know, great pollinator plant right there. But for some of them that are a little more finicky, you know, the general rule of succulents is they love a well-drained, super sunny, dry spot.
Like an herb garden.
An herb garden, if the soil is well-drained, they do want that full exposure. So a lot of herbs can get fairly large over time mm-hmm. and might shade them,
okay,
and they
right.
would suffer during a situation like that. But they're a great plant to utilize for that absolutely inhospitable place in your garden.
Mm-hmm. Doug Konapke, how do you create a well-drained soil environment?
Compost and keeping that soil not from being compacted. So don't walk on it after you've added the compost and fluffed it up and then walk across it.
Because our
clay compacts so well.
Well, we were talking the other night when we did the herb garden mm-hmm. Event. By the way, it was so much fun to see everybody there, and we really had a great time. But you said don't pat the soil down too much after you put the herbs in. You were telling people don't push it down with your fingers, just leave it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you put it in and you lightly kind of arrange it around your plants, and then you water it in and then add more soil if it goes down. I was seeing some people that's like pushing
it down.
And one, I said, can I do something here? And I went and I emptied it all out, fluffed up the soil, put the plants back in, put the soil in, lightly patted and said, now we're done.
Uh-huh.
And when you get home, water it and don't pat it anymore. But people do that, you know, yep. that stomp.
Someone taught us that somewhere down the line because we all do it. It's like in our genetic code or something.
Seems instinctual.
Jared, is the same thing with succulents when you're repotting and replanting succulents?
With most of the plants in cultivation.
Okay.
When
mm-hmm.
you are, you know, when you do your first watering, a lot of those little air gaps that you'd be worried about are going to get filled in anyway.
Right.
And the thing is, when you pack that soil down, all of those tiny little nutrient roots, the roots responsible for nutrient uptake, it's more difficult for them to move through a compacted soil. So that loose soil actually makes it a little easier for them to get established.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're broadcasting from the grounds of the Chadwick Arboretum plant sale at the OSU campus, right at Lane Avenue and Fred Taylor Drive, right by 315. Very easy to get to. So check it out. There's lots. There's not a huge crowd here. It's bustling, but it's not crazy. There's free parking and easy parking, and we'd love to see more of you here. And if you are at the plant sale and want to stop by and visit us here at the WOSU tent, please do. My guests, we're talking about, of course, gardening today. Deborah Konapke, Ohio's Garden Sage, author, teacher, lecturer, and blogger, and also Jared Hughes, owner of Groovy Plants Ranch. Questions or comments, please give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org or check out our Facebook page. Post your question or comment there. Anything to do with spring planting is really the way to go. We were talking earlier, and I wanted to of course, talk more about this, but to peel off from the last hour about what to plant to attract mm-hmm. pollinators, not just honeybees, but all pollinators, and the entomologist from OSU, Reed Johnson, was saying that especially fall mm-hmm. plants that attract pollinators in the fall, because that's when they're kind of stockpiling for the winter.
Drink.
And what blooms in the fall? We are picking out a few, of course, goldenrod, aster. What else do we want to shoot for? Ironweed?
We were actually talking about this, too. The chrysanthemums are great, but they need to be the singles,
okay.
not the doubles, because the doubles don't have anything to give to
the
pollinators.
I wondered about that. So the singles meaning
the singles.
Single petals.
Yeah, the single row of petals, and you have a nice big disc full of pollen
right.
and nectar and all that.
Okay.
Some of the other plants, I like to think of plants in their family, so anything in the daisy family, which okay. is a wide variety of plants.
Coneflowers to black-eyed Susans.
Right,
to, uh-huh.
And zinnias were mentioned, you know, so all the, in fact, we even Am I allowed to say damn on the air, D-A-M-N?
I think you just did. So.
Anyways, there's a term. I know. I did that on purpose.
Okay.
There's something called ADC, another damn composite.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So any of those composites, those daisy flowers that they attract, they're good for butterflies, bees, you name it. All of the wasps, I even brought a book, bees, wasps, and ants. Mm-hmm. All of these individuals like the nectar of those plants. The other group, if you have plants that have the umbels, like parsley, although parsley, you know, they're done. But coriander, cilantro,
yep.
You can get a fall crop of that. You spread it out in August.
They just keep reseeding themselves all summer long.
So that is something that a lot of these insects like, too. And when we talk about pollinators, it's a huge variety. And we tend to focus on our honeybee, and they are so important. But our native bees, butterflies, wasps, ants pollinate.
Yep.
We don't think about that. So bats, too, go for flowers.
One thing that I've noticed really attracts things is my, rats. I forgot what it's called now. Okay. I thought just hit a brain blowout there. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I'll try to think about what I meant by that. Bill in New Albany, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I've been planting.
Bill, can I interrupt you for just a second? Bill, could you pull that phone away from your mouth and speak just
better?
A little quieter?
Oh,
yeah. It's a little better. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I've been planting tomato plants for the last couple years. And, you know, I usually get the big boys and the better boy. And I water them every morning, but they crack. And, I mean, they are nasty-looking tomatoes. Is there a hardy tomato that I can get that won't be all cracked? And
because they get too big for their britches, right? Deb Kanapke?
A couple of thoughts come to mind on that. If you are watering them every morning, you don't need to be watering them every morning. So take that task off your list of things to do, especially if Mother Nature has graced you with rain. I water my tomatoes once a week if they need it. And what you may be doing is giving them too much of a good thing. We tend to think more is better with water and fertilizer and all that, and it's not.
You talked about the triangle.
Yeah, the triangle. There's the triangle of fertilizer, light, and water.
So
fertilizer,
food.
Food, water, and light. And they need to be an isosceles triangle, which means all sides are even, all angles are even. And when you increase the water, that means you have to increase the fertilizer and you have to increase the light. And there's only so much light you can increase. So then your triangle gets out of whack and the plant responds with a problem. And the cracking of your tomatoes usually indicates too much water. It can also mean too much water at once and then no water and then they crack. So it's indicative of a couple different problems. But if you are watering every morning, that could be it. Also, I'd like to invite you to try some other cultivars, other varieties of tomatoes. You know, if those are cracking for you, maybe you could do a little bit of research and look at tomatoes that crack less, that have a thicker skin. Some of our boys and girls have thinner skins, which most of us like because they're thinner skins, but those skins also crack easier.
Okay.
And we have lots of varieties of tomatoes here.
Yes.
Tons.
Organic, you know, the other kind. I mean, all
just about anything
from
you
all
could
over the
want.
World.
Yeah.
All different colors, purple ones, striped ones, spotted, freckled.
Yeah. And Mary told me, she gestured, we're open till 7.
It's open till 7 tonight.
Yeah,
and,
so an extra hour.
Tomorrow as well, all day tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But this is a good time to come up because, you know, when they're out, they're out. So, you know, get here while you can because the pickings are very, very good right now. If you have a question or comment, by the way, Bill in New Albany, thank you so much for that call. We appreciate it. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We are broadcasting live from the grounds of the Chadwick Arboretum Plant Sale on the OSU campus, right at Lane and Fred Taylor Drive, right off 315. So check it out. For more information, you can go to the link at our website at wosu.org/allsides. They have a map. There's also parking, two great parking areas available for the event today, so it's free. So check that out as well. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. This is a special broadcast from the grounds of the OSU Chadwick Arboretum Annual Spring Plant Sale. For more information about the sale, the dates, the times, go to the link on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. It's open tonight till 7 and tomorrow till 3. There is an incredible array of plants from perennials to annuals to vegetables and herbs, all kinds of things, shrubs, trees, you name it. So check it out. And succulents, a million succulents. Amazing plants. So check it out. 1-866 if you have a question or comment for us, and my guest, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. But if you're at the sale right now, drop by, and we have picnic tables set up and other tables, and you can just sit here and enjoy yourself. There's a food truck here. You can get coffee, donuts. You can get all kinds of yummy things. So it's a full-service plant sale. Still with me, Jared Hughes, owner of Groovy Plants Ranch. Jared, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me again.
And Deborah Kanapke, Ohio's Garden Sage, author, teacher, lecturer, blogger. Thanks, Deborah, for joining us again.
Yeah.
You brought up a good point during the break, Jared, that you can get, you know, you can plant things that bloom in the fall for the pollinators, but you can also do some retreads on what's already in the ground that's already bloomed.
Yeah, so a lot of people don't know that many of your standby bread and butter perennials that maybe you already have in your flower beds, Maynite salvia would be a perfect example that has the kind of rich purple blue blooms. Typically this time of year it starts flowering. That is a plant that you can actually get several re-blooms out of by giving it a really hard trim. So if you don't have room or don't want to purchase new plants for your landscape, many of your perennials, your salvia, black-eyed Susan, a lot of the standbys, you can give them a nice hard trim after they've done their first flowering. And many, many common perennials, you can get a nice long late season bloom out of them. And that's available food for pollinators.
What do you mean
well.
By a hard trim?
So, say salvia, for example. Yeah. It sends up these long spikes of blooms. You can kind of grab that whole bundle of spikes and take your pruners and trim all the way down to the leaf layer.
So there's what's the leaf layer, the bottom?
There's like the main rosette of leaves at the base of the plant. Trim hard. Just take your pruners and trim the stems all the way down so that you leave the leaves, but the flowering stems are gone. And that is a nice hard reset for the plant, and then it goes back to flower.
I call that a ponytail cut.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you hold it and you cut underneath. Two other plants I'd like to add to Jared's list. I'm having problems with my thing here, my mic. Coreopsis and catmint.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Coreopsis, the yellow flowers.
Yes, and catmint, which is in the mint family, is another butterfly attractor, bee, et cetera. Really good nectar pollen source.
And you can cut those
back,
too?
Yeah, you can cut those back. In fact, sometimes if we've had a hot summer, they'll just kind of look really bad on top. So I actually do what's called the 2 inches above the ground cut where
you'll get a fall.
Yeah. And then it'll come up with new leaves and it'll start blooming again.
Funny. We haven't mentioned this one yet, but what about bee balm?
Bee balm
is great
for the
pollinators
summer.
Love it, but you can't cut those back and get another bloom out of them. Can you? Sometimes they get a late bloomer out of a patch, but that's about it.
But it's not the same.
If your plants are really leggy, you can get a nice mounding plant. You may get some sporadic reblooming on it,
okay,
but it's not like your first flower.
All right, gotcha. Yeah. Well, let's turn to some questions. Let's see. Bob in Mount Gilead, you're on the air. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. I plant onion sets every year. And whether they're red onion sets or yellow or white, I end up with green onions. I never get full-size onions like you go to the store and buy. What am I doing wrong?
I take a look at your soil. Onions are an underground plant, you know, an underground.
It's a root plant.
Yeah, it's a root plant. It's a bulb, a true bulb. And if your soil is really clay and is restricting the growth of these plants, a lot of times you'll actually get rotting of the onions because the soil's too darn wet. And that's not to say that you don't water them, but they like an even moisture in the ground and they like really well-drained soil. Otherwise, you're going to have problems with those onions. So take a look. I think your problem starts with the soil. And
do you hear this often in this area because we have that clay?
I've not heard it often, but I've had the same problem. That's okay. Why I know my garlic is better in my well-drained bed. My shallots are better in my well-drained bed. I put them in beds that have been more clay, and I get teeny tiny shallots and lousy garlic. So I think it's a soil problem you're dealing with. Add some compost, get it more friable, get it...
meaning crumbly.
Crumbly, yes.
I'm learning your language.
Yes, that's good. Well, I love the word friable because
it's about as long as it took me to speak one.
But it should crumble beautifully in your hands, and it should smell like good, strong earth.
Okay. Bob, I hope that helps. Thanks for the call. Let's see. Marianne in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Ann. Quick question. Is there a shorter perennial that's a good pollinator for the front of the bed?
Let's see. How many do we want to talk about? Yeah, one of them is catmint. There are small catmints. There's one called Kit Kat. It's very cute. There are small coreopsis. There are short yarrows. There are short salvias. We have all of them here, too.
Okay.
And there are short bee balms. They only get about 8 to 12 inches tall. Oh, my gosh. There's so many. There's the sedums. The sedums are fantastic short plants for the garden at the front of the border where you want to...
Sedums get pretty big.
Well, it depends on which type.
Okay.
Because there's three different kind of like size groups, and Jared could probably talk to this better, but you have your tall ones.
Are sedums succulents?
They are indeed. Okay.
They are, yeah. Your tall ones, your mid ones, and then your short ones that creepy crawl. And then there are some that are in between, but they all flower and they all support pollinators.
And one nice thing about when they flower, in reference to the conversation earlier, is almost all of them are going to be late season bloomers.
Okay.
So you have, you know, several of them at least are late season bloomers. So really nice late flowers.
Do succulents by definition flower?
They are all part of the flowering plants.
Okay.
So yes.
But they don't always look like flowers.
They don't.
What we think of as flowers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, some of them have insignificant blooms, which means they're not very showy. And then some of them have very showy blooms, like autumn joy.
Autumn joy. You know, and the whole group.
Which is a tall,
it actually blooms in the autumn.
Garden,
right, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, autumn bloomer. Wide variety of sizes. There's a sedum for every sunny spot.
There is.
Marianne, I hope that helped. Thanks a lot for the call. Email from Karen. She says, I have a few leggy basil plants. Can I transplant the basil deep like tomatoes? I don't understand her. What does she mean, deep like tomatoes? Do you know what she's talking about?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure do.
All right.
Tomatoes have the ability to initiate roots all along their stem. So whenever I plant my tomatoes, which get leggy because I start them too early, even though I sink them in pots again and again, I will dig a deep hole and sink my tomato.
I didn't know that.
And there's this much above ground, and they grow better for it, and they're more drought tolerant. For basil, no.
Okay, the answer is no, Karen.
Because
All right.
It's actually a shrubby plant.
You want to pinch it down
to make it
fluffier and bushier.
So remove those top two or three inner nodes. Use it in the kitchen and then
the
go
flowers,
from there.
Too. You keep pinching back the flowers.
Oh, yeah, and the flowers are great in salad.
They're edible, yeah, absolutely.
Do you have anything to add to that?
No, just the the ponytail method again.
Yeah.
If it's really leggy, just they'll benefit
just
from a nice
bunch them all together and give them a good trim. Okay, Karen, thanks a lot for that question. Len from Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Len.
Well, howdy. I wonder. I've got a question for your guest. I wonder if either of them have ever heard of a tangerine tomato.
Tangerine tomato.
Well, I was told that there are actually something like 4,000 species of tomatoes, by the way. Someone did some research.
4,000 species?
I think they said, I'm not sorry, it's 4,000
cultivars.
Cultivars.
Oh, that's
yeah.
good. Cause
or whatever
I was
most
say.
People use the word.
Yeah.
Types.
Okay. 4,000 cultivars. Boy, was I off. I said 400 to 600.
Yeah.
Maybe so, 4 million.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right, then.
But the tangerine tomatoes.
I have heard of, there are all kinds of cultivars. I'm sure there's one out there, and I would imagine it's an orange one.
Do you have some, Len, and you want to know how to grow them or what?
Well, I grew some last year. They're supposed to be good cancer fighters. And
lots of antioxidants, then, I guess.
But they were pretty small, and it had really thick skins, and I just wonder if I might have done something wrong, or maybe if that's just the nature of the beast.
Okay.
I'm wondering if you're talking about the species Solanum with the spines on the leaves. Solanum is not coming to my mind, but that has been called the tangerine tomato because it kind of looks like a tangerine, and it has kind of a fuzzy outside. It is filled with antioxidants. There are some folks who are working on some tomatoes that have a lot of anthocyanins in them, the purple tomatoes. Two that were specifically developed for that are indigo apple and blueberries. I have both of those in my garden. And we're also seeing there's another new one out called Midnight Snack, which is a little tiny, hopefully for us and not the animals. But Midnight Snack is another small one, and it's purple. So your tomatoes that have more purple in it, they have anthocyanins, and all of your deep golden and orange tomatoes have a lot of beta carotenes, I've been told, along with the lycopenes, which are in tomatoes, which are red, which are very good for cancer fighting. So just eat more tomatoes, and I'm going to put another plug in. Come down here and buy some because we have
so many different kinds. There are orange type, orange shaded tomatoes or orange hued.
But we don't have 4,000.
No, we do not have 4,000. No. That's right. We're broadcasting today from the grounds of the Chadwick Arboretum plant sale at OSU. It's at the intersection of Lane and Fred Taylor Drive, real close to Route 315, very, very close. If you're anywhere on the OSU campus, drop by on your lunch hour, or if you can make it out right now and join us for the show. We have picnic tables and all kinds of things set up so you can enjoy yourself. There's food trucks here. There's every single sort of plant you can even imagine. Tons of succulents, tons of herbs, you know, all kinds of things to buy and to learn about while you're here today. We are on the air right now with Deborah Kanapke, Ohio's Garden Sage, and also Jared Hughes, owner of Groovy Plants Ranch. So if you have any questions about gardening, this is the time to ask before you buy the plants. This is the weekend to buy them. Next week is the week to plant them. Mother's Day is always a good barometer. If it's Mother's Day, it's probably getting close. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you have any questions for my esteemed guests, and I'm turning now to Andrew in Madison County. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Ann.
Go ahead.
Yes, my first thing is I wanted to say that eupatoriums, especially maculatum and fistulosum, are great late summer, early fall pollinators.
Okay, so can you, like, what are the normal?
Joe pie weed. Okay.
Joe pie weed is one of them, but they're not for the faint of heart because they can become towering in ideal situations. But
those are the ones with the big purple berry type things on them,
mauvey, pinky, purpley.
Oh, okay.
Pinky.
Yeah, not berries at all, but huge.
Okay.
But my question is, I have a couple of, I have a fin or an artificial fin garden and an artificial ball garden where I grow native orchids and carnivorous plants. And one I have native cranberries, and then the other one I have blueberry, but they're at opposite sides of the yard. I was wondering if I move them closer, if they would be suitable as cross pollinators to increase fruit yield, since they're in the same genus, or are they too far removed to actually be worthwhile in cross pollinating?
Usually, cranberries are fine cross pollinating. I have two little bogs with cranberries in them, and I get lots of fruit that the squirrels enjoy.
You have bogs?
I do. I have little bogs. I have, they're about this big, for those of you on the radio.
What constitutes a bog?
Well, it's a double-walled plastic pot that is filled with, I used a neutral sand, acidic sand would be better, with a sphagnum, peat moss, that came from a box somewhere, so probably in Canada. And I planted native cranberries that someone gave me from their boggy site at their home. And then I put in, like, Andrew, I have a couple native orchids in them and some carnivorous plants. And I, like I said, I do get cranberries that the squirrels eat as soon as they get ripe because they're better at it than I am.
So, Andrew, thank you so much. Appreciate that. For Jared, we have a question. What are good perennial succulents for zones 5 and 6?
Zones 5 and 6.
What, is that our zone?
Yes.
Okay.
We are, I believe, technically still 5. We slide between you 5
are,
and 6.
You are up in the country. Yeah. You're definitely 5.
Make it sound like I'm far away.
No, well, I mean, I know. No, you're not that far away, but it's just that you're out in the open area. You don't have, like, buildings and roads and
heating things up.
Heat,
okay.
Yeah.
So if you want to, say, start your own little succulent garden or elaborate a rock garden, put in a rock garden, there are so many. I would stick with some of the tried and true varieties. If you really want to cover some space, there's Sedum Angelina, which has this really bright gold glow to it, turns orange in the winter.
The leaves and the stems.
It is an evergreen, which many of them are not. They're more perennial, and they lose their leaves, their whole top end during the winter. But Angelina is really a gorgeous plant, but it will take over an area. So if you really want to cover some ground, it's great. It is not difficult to control, but everywhere a stem lands, including pieces that you throw in the wheelbarrow and maybe miss a couple, even if it lands in your gravel parking lot like at our business, it will grow. there's one called Dasphylum minima, and there's also a major that's Dasphylum. And it's the cutest little blue, tiny little blue rosettes, just a gorgeous little plant. Tall garden sedum is a great example. And I'm naming a lot of sedum here, but if you really want to go down the well, there are some great collector plants that are a little harder to find, things like Oristachys. Semper vivum is what you would call the hens and chicks. You can hunt for those, and there are so many great kinds.
Are there any here today?
There are some here.
At your...
We have both Oristachys and hens and chicks, and I know there are hens and chicks around.
And you have a booth here, right? Or do you have an actual...
We do. Okay. We have a booth here, and a nice selection of all kinds of obscure and unusual botanical oddities.
And Deborah, what lavender... This is from a guest here in our audience at the Chadwick Arboretum Plant Sale. What lavenders are the toughest for Ohio gardens? I would answer that saying anything I plant in my garden, I have a hard time growing lavenders, and I don't know why. Tell me. What?
Drainage, 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 drainage. Yep. Lavenders grow in the Mediterranean on gritty, limestony soils.
So just whip a lot of sand in there?
No, okay, no. Then we make concrete blocks in our clay.
Right,
that'd be one.
Well, not a lot, but something?
Ones that seem to do well in our clay soil or do better. And again, you have to amend with compost and make that soil more friable. But ones that do better are the straight English lavenders, Lavandula angustifolia, which are Hidcoat, Munstead, Lavance, Lavance Purple, Lady, and there's Blue Cushion, and there's a whole bunch of cultivars. There's probably about 100, many of which you cannot tell apart. And I know we have the beautiful Lavandins, which is a hybrid. There is one that is being touted as being as hardy as the English lavender called Phenomenal. And I've had Phenomenal in my garden, and thus far it has been doing very well.
Okay.
We also have a beautiful variegated one called Platinum Blonde, and it overwintered, but that was zone 7 last winter, and I have a feeling Platinum Blonde will go the way of the wicked if we have a real winter, because it's variegated and it's beautiful. So be seduced by it and enjoy it while you have it, because if we get cold, it will go away. But again, stick with the straight English lavenders and amend that soil, put some compost in. And it's like Jared's plants. Drainage is what kills so many of our plants here in Central Ohio. Poor drainage.
There's an incredible array of plants that you know, the ardent gardener, if they prepare the bed properly, that we could grow that we just don't ever see at garden centers because of, sometimes, you know, you would need to amend the soil significantly.
With lavender, will they get more than one bloom time on them?
Most of them do.
If you ponytail them and...
Well, and okay. What... they bloom... They're coming into bloom now. Well,
yeah.
Not yet.
No.
Soon. A couple weeks. And some are early because we've had such strange weather. But after they bloom is when I shape the plant. The bloom the first time mid-June, end of June. And then they will start blooming again in August or September. And they also are an excellent pollinator plant at the end of the season.
All right.
Another one. The mint family, you know, the composite or Asteraceae daisy family is one. The mint family is another. And then the, mint family.
Excellent. I just wonder if I'm blocking out the mint bloom. I have three different mints in my garden, and I'm not sure I'm...
They have like a hooded bloom,
They
have sort of like a... This kind of bloom.
Okay, all right.
For those
she's
of you
using
who,
her fans,
she's
doing
sorry.
Duck hands motions right
for those
now.
Of you who cannot see
radio
what I'm doing,
and,
they're bilabiate, which means they have two lips. So the flowers have two lips, three petals fused on top and two petals fused on the bottom.
They like our quacking ducks. Okay, we're going to be right back. We're going to get to the calls. If you have a question or comment, 614-292-8513. We're broadcasting today from the grounds of the Chadwick Arboretum Plant Sale on the OSU campus. For more information on that, go to the website. Go to the link at the website at WOSU.org/allsides. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. This is a special broadcast. It's our annual broadcast from the grounds of the Ohio State University Chadwick Arboretum's annual spring plant sale. For more information about the sale, go to the link at our website at WOSU.org/allsides. If you're at the sale and you want to come and check out the show, we're right here. We have picnic tables and tables set up. So come on over and enjoy the show if you like. Otherwise, just listen from wherever you are enjoying all the beautiful plants out here today. There's other kinds of vendors. There's food trucks. There's all kinds of stuff to do. They're open till 7 tonight and 3 o'clock on Saturday. And it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow, too. It's a perfect day today. Though, so come on down. My guests, Jared Hughes, owner of Groovy Plants Ranch, who is one of the vendors at the sale today, and also Deborah Kanapke, Ohio's Garden Sage, author, teacher, lecturer, and blogger. Questions or comments, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Nicole in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Ann. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question about a very old rose bush that is in my backyard that was there when I bought my house 3 years ago. And it was almost completely choked out by some invasive Rose of Sharon growing over from my neighbor's yard. And I've cleaned out the area, but the stems have grown so long. They're probably 6 or 7 feet long. And I have them propped up on a trellis, but I would really like to prune it back so it's much smaller and more manageable, and I'm very unsure of how to do that.
Well, you're in the right place. Deborah Kanapke?
So go ahead and prune it. And the best way to do that is to find a bud, an outside-facing bud, so that the next branch will actually go out from the center instead of going inside. And then make a cut about 1/4 inch above it, slant it away from the bud. So if you see the bud and you see the stem, and then so you make the cut down towards the center of the plant, and so... water is not going into where the bud connects with the branch.
Okay, so slanted away. Okay,
yeah,
slanted away.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yep. I was using my hands.
So the high part of the slant is toward the bud. Okay,
correct.
Gotcha.
So that you're channeling water away from that area. And so you can take it down if you want it to 3 feet. Again, look for that outside bud so that subsequent branches go to the outside instead of the inside.
Nicole, thanks a lot for that call. Let's see who's next is Chelsea in Gahanna. Hi, Chelsea.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering, I have always heard that if you take certain fruits and vegetables and even flowers and take the seeds out of, you know, the fruits or the vegetables that you've already grown and replant them, that you can grow new plants. Someone even told me that if you take a head of lettuce down to the core and then plant the core, you can grow new lettuce. Is that true?
Most of the time. Mm-hmm. You know, that is how plants propagate themselves, by the seeds that grow in the ovary of the flower after it's been fertilized and pollinated and fertilized. As to the core of the lettuce, I believe that is true. As long as there are still live buds at the bottom of the where the lettuce was cut from the ground. Because often what you'll have is people will cut lettuce and they'll leave it, and there are buds that will send up smaller heads all the way around.
Yeah.
And so that's a win-win. That's how you get your lettuce to keep going. So that is how, through history, plants have propagated themselves. So yes, indeed. If you are interested in that, there are some great books out there on how to collect seed from your food and how to store it and how to plant it. I'm trying to think of some, and none are coming to mind right this moment.
One thing to consider with collecting your own seeds, say take tomatoes, for example, mm-hmm. you do risk the chance of cross-pollination. So though that cross-pollination will not affect the flavor or shape of the fruit that season, it may affect the genetics within the seed. So then when you sow that seed that you collected the following year, you may have a Roma big boy.
Yes,
or,
right.
You know,
it won't be what you might have had the last year.
It may not be exactly what you had before, and that is just something to consider. And if you're okay with that, you know, that's something you can do. But it will not affect the flavor or shape of the fruit that season.
Correct. It's the next season.
Mm-hmm. Annie in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Annie.
Hi, how are you? I'm
good.
Calling because I have a garden in Columbus, Ohio, and it's not too far from the Arboretum. And my big problem is slugs. I've used every product from every garden center, and I can't
seem
to get control
Wait,
of slugs.
Wait, did you say, I'm sorry, slugs.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about flooding or slugs?
G as in garage. Slugs.
Slugs. Okay, I'm sorry, the description was different. Okay, go ahead, Annie.
So I'm just wondering what I can do, because there are so many slugs in my garden, and I've tried every product.
Well,
beer?
Beer.
You can say that on the air.
I said, damn, you can say beer.
That's what I've heard. I've never had to try it myself.
I have done the beer thing.
I've heard about the beer thing.
I had
some.
They
put a bowl of beer underneath.
Yeah,
see how many slugs are there the next morning.
I cut a can, and actually had a sharp edge. So when the slug went to get the beer, I know this is cruel. I'm sorry for all you slug lovers out there, but what you do is you get a can or something and you dig it into the ground so the level is just about even with the ground, and you pour beer in it, and the slug goes in and it drowns and it dies happy. I mean, what could be better?
All right.
I mean, that's labor intensive. You can go outside at night with a flashlight and take them off of your hostas and all of your other plants. And you can use Slug-O, and they're different aluminum something or another. The slug bait, the metal haldide, though, I probably you should not put, because it can kill pets and harm children, so keep away from those really poisonous things.
Beer won't really hurt anybody.
Yeah, beer won't hurt anybody. Just make them happy.
Right.
So it's just one of those things, and the more moist our soils are, the more slugs we're going to get.
Okay. Stacy in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Stacy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am wondering what to do with my hydrangea at this point in the season, whether to trim down the old wood from last year or not. I kind of get I heard it depends on what kind of hydrangea you have, and I honestly don't
Stacey,
know.
I can answer this. I can answer this question. It depends.
Oh. Right.
It depends on which one you have.
I know the answer to that one. It depends. But so, you know, I ask you about hydrangeas every year because I'm
I know.
So,
It's not you, Stacey. It's not you. It's always the hydrangea question.
Yeah. Yeah. There are how many different kinds of hydrangeas?
Gosh, there's so many.
And you prune them differently depending on what kind it is.
Well, if the stems are obviously dead, take them out. Those are probably hydrangeas that bloom only on new wood or new stems. The newest hydrangeas that are coming out are blooming on old wood and new wood, which makes pruning even more complicated because you have to make sure that the darn stem is dead before you take it out, because otherwise you've just taken out your first bloom period. Mm-hmm. So it depends on which one you have. And this is where I plead for people to save the tags of their plants. Especially things like hydrangeas and clematis, which have different pruning techniques depending on which one you have. Mm-hmm. So do you, Stacy still
is
on?
Stacy's still here. Yeah. Hi, Stacy. Go ahead.
Do you know which one you have?
Go ahead.
Yep. I don't.
Okay.
That's the problem.
So in other
Neither
words.
Neither do I, Stacy.
So in other words, so you heard my answer, and I wish you luck. If they're dead, take them out.
Okay. All right. I want to get to as many calls as I can right here. Sue in Upper Arlington, you're on the air. Hi, Sue.
Hello. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Hey, thank you for all the answers to the other questions they already had. But I have a question about growing tall plants. I have a lot of construction going around my home that it's really messing with the view of my garden. And the borrowed gardens I once had next door are gone. And so I'd like to put up like a screen or something so I can't see the big construction that is pretty overwhelming. Are there certain trees that will grow really super quick?
Well, I have a good one for you. I have a good one for you, Sue, because we're short on time. Take a look at the arborvitaes, and the one that I'm suggesting is Emerald arborvitae.
That's the tall.
That's the tall, skinny one skinny, that makes a nice screen
kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. There you go. And let's see. Bill in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Hey, I took out an old forsythia, or not forsythia, lilac. It was a big lilac. And I want to put a dwarf lilac back in there. Is that okay? Can you plant the same kind of plant in the same
mold? As long as there was no disease, you should have no problem with that. And by the way, we have a lot of lilacs here at the Chabot Arboretum plant sale.
Beautiful lilacs.
Beautiful.
Yep, there are. Thank you, Bill. And now Andrea for our last call of the day. Hi, Andrea.
Hi. I'm from Sherman Village, and I need some color, but I want something that'll be around all summer without me having to swap it out. I have a very black thumb, and I don't have good luck.
Black thumb. Okay.
Succulents. I think you need some succulents. They're all different colors.
And they're all different shapes and sizes.
They will give you neat foliage effect. And then for flowers, you might want to take a look at Geranium roseanne, some of the salvias, some of the coreopsis. Those are all more or less continual
bloomers. Once they start blooming, they keep blooming.
Yeah, they keep blooming as long as you take care of them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Andrea, thanks for that call. What a bunch of great calls today. Thank you, everybody, for all your calls. I want to remind you about where we are today. We are on the grounds of the Chadwick Arboretum plant sale on the OSU campus at Lane and Fred Taylor Drive. And there, for more information about the plant sale, which continues today until 7 and tomorrow until 3, check out the link on our website at wosu.org/allsides. There's food trucks out here. There is a plethora of all different kinds of plants, herbs, vegetables, everything, tomatoes, trees, shrubs, all kinds of flowers, all kinds of perennials, organically grown, you name it, all kinds of vendors, including one of my guests, Jared Hughes. He's the owner of Groovy Plants Ranch, and they have we didn't even get into all the incredible succulents you brought to the table today, Jared, but people can come and see them for themselves if they visit the plant sale today or tomorrow. Jared, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's Jared Hughes, owner of Groovy Plants Ranch, and also Deborah Kanapke, Ohio's Garden Sage. Thanks, as always, great friend of WOSU and All Sides. Appreciate your time.
Always fun.
Thanks to the All Sides staff, Michael DeBonis, assistant producer Shyla Knott, All Sides interns Kelly Rudolph, Colin McKinnon, Aaron Kinkley, and Owen Doherty, with video production by Rich Blue and Amber Blue. Alan DeCenzo is the composer of our theme music. Thanks so much for listening today, and please do yourself a favor and stop out at the OSU Chadwick Arboretum plant sale right here on campus at Lane Avenue and Fred Taylor Drive. It's the prettiest place today to go. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.